If you have your Bibles, we're still in the book of Genesis. I think I've been in Genesis for about the last month or so. I don't know. We will get out of there one day. Genesis chapter number six, if you will. Genesis chapter number six. And we're going to look at a familiar passage here. Want every teenager looking up, looking at the pastor or at the Bible. We do ask if you have a cell phone. Look at this. I'm turning mine on vibrate right now. Look at that. Mahomes drunk again. Okay, here, turn that off. And all right. No, and I didn't win the slam dunk contest again this year. Okay, here it is. So here we are. Genesis chapter number six. We're going to look at just a verse or two, and that'll be a blessing. Here we are. Genesis chapter number six. And the Bible says in verse number five, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8, look at the positive part. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first time the word grace is ever mentioned in the Bible. Grace means unmerited favor. Someone said if you wrote the word grace as an acrostic, it stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. And so here's Noah. He is doing right. I'm going to speak on that subject this morning, and I believe the message may be a little bit briefer than usual. So we'll just jump right in. Again, if you're a visitor or a guest, this church is built on God's Word. And this is what's elevated more than music, more than our events, more than fellowship, more than music, more than anything else, because it's God's Word that changes lives. So that's why when we sing, we're singing God's Word or His principles. That's why when we preach, it's always from the Word of God, not another book, not the pastor's opinion. It's God's Word. Let's pray. Father, bless now this brief time we have. Help us be an encouragement to these thy people. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. No story has perhaps been enjoyed more than this story by children or criticized by skeptics as the story of Noah and the ark. Science does sense that there was a catastrophic event that did take place in world history, because they are finding seashells on top of mountains and animal bones on top of mountains. How did they get there if the world was not one day covered totally by a flood? Undigested food inside of woolly mammoth dinosaurs who have been found frozen. And it took place so quickly, the food they swallowed was not even digested. Why? There was a worldwide catastrophe, the flood. I want to just look at several thoughts this morning, then we'll apply them. Number one, let's first notice the land. And we look down in verse 6:11, and it says, and the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. The word corrupt means rotting. And all flesh, that's people, had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So we see that the world at one time started out pretty good, Adam and Eve, but it didn't take long before they got away from God. They got away from God's word, and they corrupted themselves. Now, I want to say this for a second. You say, well, Pastor, by this time in history, did they even know there was a God? God hadn't written his word yet. How did they know how they were supposed to behave? Here you go. Adam lived, according to the Bible, 935 years. Adam walked in the garden with God. He knew God. He knew that when he sinned, God killed an innocent animal to cover him with the coats of skins. So he knew the truth and the doctrine that the innocent, pointing to the cross, would one day suffer for the guilty. He knew he was supposed to spend time with God and offer sacrifices to God. He knew that 935 years. He told that to his kids. Cain and Abel knew that. They told it. They shared it. Next, another man was born named Methuselah. He lived 969 years, the oldest man that ever lived. You say, how come? I don't know. I guess they didn't have cornflakes back then. You know, they just lived longer. I don't know. I can't figure it out. You know, maybe the ozone, maybe they didn't have enough hairspray spraying everywhere. And maybe they weren't eating grapes sprayed with bug spray. I don't know. But I know this. Methuselah lives 969 years. Guess what his name meant? The deluge will come. The deluge, a worldwide catastrophe will come. That's what his name meant. His great-great-granddaddy, Noah's great-great-granddaddy was Enoch, who walked with God and God took him. He named his son Methuselah, the deluge will come. So here it is. Adam, 900 something years. Methuselah, 900 something years. Methuselah shared the gospel. He walked with the Lord. He told others. So the entire human race had no excuse. They had all heard about God. It wasn't just nature. It wasn't just their conscience. They had heard. There is a God. He created the heavens and the earth. He expects us to obey him. When we sin, he has the sacrifice. He's the one that shed blood of the innocent to cover our sin. And so they knew. But somehow, much like America, we knew at one time. Our nation was founded upon God. In God we trust. It used to be on the coins, used to be on the dollars, and they've tried to take that out. And God used to be in the schools, and we could go way and way and way on that. But just like our nation used to know, and look how corrupt our nation has gotten. So the land, let's talk about that. It was corrupt. There was violence. There was killings. There was murders. There were no one was safe. That's the place where Noah lived. That's the day in which he lived. And God says, I've been fed up with it. Number two, we have the laughing. The laughing. In the New Testament, God says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So that meant that Noah not only was a dad to three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, but he was a preacher. Maybe he had a church, but he only had eight members. And then after a year, he only had eight members, his wife and his kids and their mates. After 100 years, he only had eight members. That's all he had was eight members in that church. By the world standard, he would look like a failure. You're a preacher and no one comes to hear you preach? A failure. But he preached what he was supposed to preach. He preached righteousness. I guess no one listened. I'm sure they started laughing when he built the ark. It had never rained before. I'm sure he was mocked. Perhaps the ark was graffitied. Maybe his kids were picked on at school. Hey, the nut is your daddy, right? That nut that's hollering, the rain's going to come. Your daddy's the guy building a boat. We're 1,000 miles from the ocean. What's he thinking? Well, you know, you never know. And so there's the land. Number two, there's the laughing. And then we have number three quickly here. We have the Lord. And I love this here. No matter where our world goes, the Lord is still interested in us. And I love this scripture. It says in 6:8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So the whole world is corrupt. The whole world is violent. But out of all the millions of people, God looks down and he says, but I see Noah. Noah's living right. I just want to tell you, if you feel like you're the only one in your family that's trying to do right and please the Lord, God sees you. If you're the only one in your neighborhood, every car was home today and you cranked your car and you brought your family to church and no one else went to church in the whole neighborhood, God sees you. God sees everything right you do. He sees every effort you do. He sees every single mom trying to raise the kids the right way. He sees every dad working a job that he doesn't enjoy, that's no fun, that sometimes he's unappreciated, but he does it because he loves his family, brings home a paycheck. It's not easy. He's beat at the end of the day. Then the kids want to play. Hey, God sees that. He sees the mom that not only has to work a secular job, but clean the house and train the kids and raise the kids and change the diapers and cook the meals and clean the house. He sees that. And God saw Noah. God had grace to Noah. Chapter 7, verse 1, I love this, and we'll get on this in just a second. Well, go ahead and shoot the picture up, Paul. I like the pictures. There it is. That's an actual snapshot taken with my cell phone. While it was happening. Some of you say, that pastor sure is getting old. I know, that's an actual snapshot. It's a selfie. That's me carrying something. That's the back of my head. Anyway, so there is Noah. And he built that ark 100 years. Some of you have been working on a remodel of your house. It seems like 100 years. This is 100 years. I don't know if he was able to hire non-Christian people to help him. I don't know. I don't know if it was just him and his three sons. I don't know how they did it. It was a supernatural, miraculous thing that they could build a boat as big as a football stadium. 450. I heard a story. This man was getting up to preach. He was a preacher. And a teenager said, "Pastor, what are you preaching on?" He said, "I'm preaching on Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Can I see your Bible?" He looked at his Bible, handed it back. Well, the pastor didn't know that they glued two or three pages together in his Bible. So the pastor was preaching. He said, "The Bible said God made Adam, and Adam was lonely, and God made Eve, and she was." And then he turned the page. He kind of looked at the page. He turned it back. He said, "Let me start over. God made Adam. He was lonely, and God made Eve, and she was." And he just kind of stared. He flipped it back. He said, "Folks, let's try again. God made Adam. He was lonely. God made Eve, and she was." He said, "Folks, you know, I'm always learning stuff in the Bible." He says, "And today I've seen something I've never seen. But we're going to preach it because it's God's word. And God made Eve, and she was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall, and had a window at her top." So we see that he worked on this ark for 100 years. And then God finally said, "Come." God didn't say, "Go into the ark." Because if he would have said, "Noah, go into the ark," that's away from God. God was in that ark. He said, "Come into the ark." That word "come" is mentioned 500 times in the Bible. In Revelation 22, the last part, last phrase of the whole Bible, he says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come." And God is still saying that word to people today. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me for salvation, not a church. Come to me for forgiveness, not a preacher man, not a priest. Come to me for eternal life. It's all about Jesus. So we see the Lord, though the Lord was going to destroy the world, he still saw some people that wanted him. Quickly, let's look here, the leader. Let's talk about him for a moment. The leader, it was Noah. He led his family. He was the leader. Someone said leader means lead her. And so if it's a family, someone has got to lead, whether it's the husband or the wife. Someone's got to lead and someone's got to follow. Well, Noah was a leader. His name means rest or peace. Peace during the storm. Peace during a corrupt nation. And I want to say this. That is a part of a parent's responsibility. While our country is in turmoil and it is anything but peaceful, it is war, it is turmoil, it is confusion, it is wickedness, there's got to be peace within our houses. It's got to be a parent who says, "We're going to be okay. God's still on the throne. This isn't how it should be, but we're going to have peace in our house." His name means peace. He was a leader. Let me ask you a question, parent. Are you leading? What are you leading toward? Toward God? Toward the world? Who are you leading to? God speaks to the leader. I love the little outline. Noah's day, it was wicked. Noah's gray, he was 500 years old when God called him. By the way, no matter how old you are, you're not too old for God still to use somehow. Noah's obey, in chapter 6, 22, every time God said, build the ark, it said, and Noah obeyed. Come into the ark, and Noah obeyed. Stay on the ark, and Noah obeyed. He did everything God told him to do. Maybe that'd be something good for us today. Then Noah's way, he was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah's say, he preached God's word. Then I love this, Noah's pay, his family got on the ark. Well, 100 years, what does he get out of it? His wife was saved from drowning, and his kids were saved from drowning. That was his pay. No one said it'd be easy parenting. No one said it would be easy living in the last days. But there's a payday coming. And that payday is, hey, we made it to heaven. We're here as a family, our kids, our loved ones. We made it. That's the payday. Payday's not here. Payday's up there. And then I want to say this. Noah, of course, was the only Christian dad on the whole planet. As far as we know, Noah was the only preacher. If you didn't like him, you couldn't go to another church. It was him or nobody. And then I want to talk about, notice all the L's. The leader, the laughing, the Lord, the land. So this has to be an L. The liner, like ocean liner. Ark doesn't start with L. Oh, okay, so anyway. So we see, I just keep that picture there. It was God's plan. It was not man's plan. See, folks, salvation isn't us figuring out how do we get to heaven. It's God looking down saying, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. It's his plan, not our plan. Secondly, the ark just had one door on it. You often hear things like, well, there's many ways to heaven, and there's many avenues, but that's not Bible. Jesus said this in the New Testament, I am the door. If any man enter in, he's coming through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth to the Father but by me. You say, well, there's the Buddhist way, the Catholic way, the Christian way, the Methodist. No, no, no. It's one way, and it's Jesus. That's it. It was one door. If anyone got on the ark, they had to go through that one door. There was no other options. It's just one. It sounds narrow-minded, but that's how it is. TV personalities often interview people and say, so you're saying if you believe this, this, and this, you don't go to heaven, and only people that believe this and this go to heaven? Yep. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. He was buried, rose from the dead. I'm going to believe him. That's who I'm going to believe. What else about this ark here? It had a window at the top. Now, it didn't have shades, and I don't think they turned the shade. Oh, it's kind of a sunny day. No, it wasn't like that. It was a square. It was sealed. But why was the window at the top? Here you go. Because God wanted those people concerned with what he was doing, not what was going on below them on the earth. And let me encourage you. If all you think about is what's going on here on this earth, you're going to be a worrywart, you're going to be upset, you're going to be angry. You need to get your eyes fixed on what's going on up in heaven and what God's doing. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, there's loved ones up in heaven. Look up, God loves you. Look up, God is noticing you. There was a window at the top. I like this too. When Noah built that ark, he had to chop down, help me here. What's the word? Chop down, because he needed wood. Chop down, starts with letter T, ends in E. Tree. So if he was going to save anybody, he had to chop down the tree. The trees. And 2,000 years ago, God chopped down a tree. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The symbol, the redemption for mankind. It was a tree. that Jesus hung on, an old cross. I love this ark. He's building this ark. What else, Pastor? Once they went inside, they were safe. It said it was pitched within and without. There was no leak. The Bible says, and God shut the door. What's that mean? For us, this whole picture is a picture of salvation, being saved, accepting Christ, becoming a Christian. What's it mean? When you get in, you can't get out. We didn't get in to get out. Judgment's coming. The world's going to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Someone put it this way, his grip don't slip. When you get saved, God puts you in his hand. Once saved, always saved. You say, well, Pastor, what if you get drunk after you get saved? And you may, you're still saved. Well, what if your marriage blows apart after you get saved? You're still saved. Well, what if you get arrested and you're speeding and you have to serve time and they take away your license? You're still saved. That's why it's called eternal life, everlasting life. You didn't do anything to get it. You don't have to do anything to keep it. That's the kind of God we love. Someone said, well, that means if you get saved, you can sin as much as you want. I like what one preacher said. He said, I usually sin more than I really want. Wow, this thing's sounding pretty good, being saved. Here's one. It was everyone's choice to get on. They didn't carry people on kicking and screaming. If they didn't want to get on the ark, they didn't get on the ark. Eight people got on willfully. It is your choice. It is your will. If you accept Christ as Savior, it'll be your decision. If you decide not to receive him and reject him, that's your decision. Number next, no one was born on the ark. Well, Pastor, I was just born a Christian. Well, you're the only one. Because no one else out of billions of people has ever been born a Christian. I've just always been a Christian. No, there's a time you're saved and then a time you're lost and a time that you're saved. Your behavior on the ark does not affect you staying on the ark. Once those eight people got on the ark, you helped me. It was Noah and his wife, his three grown sons and their wives. Let's just vote. How many of you think there was at least one argument the 1 year they were on the ark? At least one argument was on that ark, okay? How many of you think at least four women wanted to kill their husband sometime during that year? How many of you think four husbands probably wanted to kill their wife during that time? How many of you think three sons wanted to kill their daddy during that time? You know, the hardest part about the whole story is this. They worked 100 years. God said, get on the ark. They got on the ark. God closed the door. And nothing happened for 7 days. You think that might have been hard? Dad! We worked 100 years. Where's the rain? 7 days, nothing. Guess what? Once they got on, they were still on. Some of you got it all rattled around in your head. Well, God loves me, and then God hates me. And, you know, I'm saved. Now he's going to send me to hell. And if I do this, I'm going to. And you're living in fear. When you get saved, he didn't save you because of your good deeds. And so your good deeds don't keep you saved. He loves you just as you are, but refuses to leave you that way. He'll start working on you, but being saved is just like that. Let's keep going. No one else can put you on the ark. Well, Pastor, I've been talking to my priest, and he's going to pray me. Sorry. Well, you know, I got this friend, and they're lighting a candle for me. Sorry. No one can get you on the ark. It is your decision. We have to hurry. I hadn't even got to what I want to say yet. They had to see their need before they got on the ark. I'm sure thousands of people walked by that ark every day on their way to work, their daily task, and they saw that great big boat, but they didn't get on it. They had to see their need. You know who gets on the ark of God's salvation and accepts Jesus as their Savior? Lost people. You know who gets on that ark? Those who see the thunder clouds coming. Hey, there's a judgment. I'm going to answer to God for my sins. If I die lost, I'm going to burn in hell forever. When do you want to get saved? They don't put it off. Once someone knows that they're lost and they're without God, they get saved pretty fast. They had to see the urgency. Not only that, but this too. God shut the door. They had so much opportunity, and then the door closed. Now, maybe you're here, you've heard the gospel throughout your whole life. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're in our Christian school. Maybe you grew up here in our church, and you've known that you have been lost for a long time. That opportunity will not always be there. One day, God's going to shut the door and say, that's it, we're done. Eternity starts. It's time for you to meet your maker. That's why you want to get on that ark as soon as you can. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching that? We're all saved. I'm getting to where I'm going in just a second. I Googled to try to find out how many people was in the world at this time. The low estimate is 10 million. The high estimate is way out there, 100 trillion, because of the longevity of how long people had lived. But it was millions and millions of people. I finally narrowed it down to how many actually died. I'm probably the only one that knows in this room. Pastor, how would you know how many people died in the flood? You ready? All but 8. That took a lot of thinking, huh? Yeah. Oh, Pastor, you're so smart, Alec. All but 8. They all did. All but 8. So know what that means? A majority of people will not get on the ark. A majority of the people you know won't get on the ark. A majority of people in our city, they don't need the ark because they're not lost. And they don't need God, they think. But we're praying, and that's why we're preaching. And that's why our church exists. That's why if you're a Christian, God's left you on this planet. Why? Two decisions. Get on the ark as soon as you can. As soon as you hear it, get on. Be safe. And then while you're on it, hey, there's room in here. There's plenty of room. There's room for the animals. There's room for my family. There's room for you. It doesn't look real attractive. Just old wood, just brown wood. And it's not the majority of people that's going to get on, but that's our whole life. Get on. Hey, children, get on the ark. Hey, teenager, get on the ark. Hey, alcoholic, get on the ark. Hey, busted marriage, get on the ark. Hey, religious person, get on the ark. Atheist, get on the ark. You'll believe one day. Some of you need to get on that ark today. Today. Now let me finish up the message and have something for everybody else as well. So if the ark represents salvation, oh, by the way, here's that other picture here. So that's after the ark's, the door's closed. Door's closed. I wonder how many people beat on that ark. Noah, we believe now. Hey, can you open the door a little bit? My family would like to get on. Daddy, you told us Noah was a nut. What are we going to do now? Swim, son, swim. Here's a hill. Let's climb up here. And the water kept coming and coming. Daddy, I wanted to get on, and you wouldn't let us get on. Mama, you said it was a lie. Better be careful who you believe. There'll be a judgment day come. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is death. You just want to be glad you was on the ark. Now quickly, I'll end with this. The last L is the leaf. So you say, you know, I think we're going to end right here. I think we're going to end right here. No, we're not going to end here. No, we are. We're going to end right here. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time.